Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Online, I'm having a dialogue with an agnostic, Prometheus. Prometheus Unbound. And it's an interesting discussion between a Christian and an agnostic, and I'll share some of that with you today. And it was prompted by our video of Ann Coulter. Have you seen the Ann Coulter hangups? If you haven't, that video on YouTube it's nearing 40,000 views, and that's an important milestone. You know, when people Google Ann Coulter or Ann Coulter video, if they go to YouTube.com and put in Coulter or Ann Coulter, it's important to be in the top of the list, and 40,000 views is significant. This is a video that Christians, pro-lifers, Republicans, conservatives would be interested in, especially anyone who's interested in Mitt Romney or Ann Coulter. And you could help us reach 40,000 views by going to YouTube, or you can go to the Ann Coulter Apology website, AnnCoulterApology.com, or just CoulterApology.com. Or you could go to American Right to Life's website and click on Ann Coulter's name in the right, or go to YouTube, search for the Coulter hangups, Ann Coulter hangups, and you'll want to watch this video. And if you do, feel free in the coming weeks or month or whenever to call in to Bob Inyart Live and chat about this. Our number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. I want to, in a moment, get to the blog discourse, the dialogue that I'm having with an agnostic that this video prompted. By the way, he goes by Santi A. Ferrella is his name, Prometheus Unbound. So it'll be fun to share with you some of the discussion I'm having with Santi on his blog. And also, we want to mention briefly Obama and Hillary getting upset at a student in Africa. And then the shrinking fish problem. There is a shrinking fish problem around the world, and we reported it on Real Science Friday. Fred Williams and I reported this, months ago? With fish are shrinking because the Darwinists who run the governments all over the world, the people who run their wildlife and fisheries departments, Department of Wildlife, they're all Darwinists. And which means that they don't have a gut feel for accurate science regarding life. And so the rule has been for decades now, when you go fishing, you have to throw the small ones back in. You can't keep the small ones. Well, because of that, that is an unnatural selection where the gene pool in a species of fish, the gene pool is being harmed because the genes within a species for large fish are being culled out of the genome. So if you like rainbow trout, after a number of decades where everybody, the small ones they throw back in, the big ones they take, pretty soon, like if you killed all the big dogs in the world, you'd be left with poodles and chihuahuas eventually. And it would take a real long time to breed again big dogs, if ever, depending on how totally you remove the genes for larger individuals from the genome. Well, that's what's happening. And now there is a study. I got this here from Breitbart.com, major news outlet. It came originally from Agence France Presse, AFP, the big French news source. And here's the headline. And see if, how does this strike you? Fish are shrinking in response to global warming. Latest study out, July 2009. Fish are shrinking in response to global warming. Latest study. This is just hysterical. Now, we are fundamentalist, Bible-thumping, young earth creationist. We know why fish are shrinking. The atheists, the evolutionists, the agnostics, the Darwinists, they don't know why. They think, well, maybe it's because of global warming, which is just such a joke. Stephen Hawking wants us to go to the moon or Mars because to escape global warming. Has he overlooked that it's 200 degrees? Forget a half a degree increase. What do you want, 200 degrees instead of 78 Fahrenheit? And he forgets that there's no oxygen, there's no water, no liquid water. I mean, these people, they come across as intelligent because the media spins them that way. This is inane. And does Stephen Hawking know the size of the carbon footprint of one launch of humans to a base on the moon? Could you imagine? How many of us are we going to move to the moon and Mars to escape global warming? Wouldn't it be better to go to Antarctica or Greenland? At least there's air there. So anyway, these rocket scientists are saying fish have lost half their average body mass and smaller species are making up a larger proportion of European fish stocks as a result of global warming, according to the latest study. And this is at the Agriculture and Environmental Research Institute in Lyon, France. And I think they are lying. In Lyon, France, the author's study says, his name is Martin Dufresne. He says, it's huge. That's the quote in the article. It's huge. No, Martin, it's small. That's the whole point. He says, it's huge. Earlier research had already established that fish have shifted their geographic ranges and their migratory and breeding patterns. Now, he and his colleagues have examined long-term surveys of fish populations in rivers and streams, and they found that the individual species has lost an average of 50% of their body mass, while the average size of the overall fishing stock has shrunk by 60%. And this was Fred Williams and Bob Enyart months ago on Real Science Friday explaining that this is unnatural selection because the people running our government, you know, biodiversity programs, they're Darwinist. And if you're a Darwinist, that means you're a little bit slow-witted about understanding life on Earth. And so do you recall, now this is a bit of history that most people won't remember, but a long time ago when Darwin's bulldog was still kicking, Thomas Huxley, he was a member of the Royal Society in London, and the fishing industry in the Northeast, New England, Nova Scotia, they were concerned about the fishing stocks in the ocean. And they actually sent a delegation to the Royal Society in London, and they said, we're concerned about overfishing because we have to go further and further to get our catch, and our catches are less and less every year. And so by now, the Royal Society in London was controlled by Darwinist evolutionists, and Thomas Huxley actually told an official ruling to the fishing industry, do not worry about overfishing. It will not be a problem because of natural selection. The stronger fish will escape your nets. The stronger fish will escape your nets, and natural selection will take care of any overfishing concern. Well, Thomas Huxley was completely wrong. The fish that survive are often not the strongest fish or the fastest fish. They're just the luckiest fish. I mean, natural selection doesn't even work in terms of Darwinism. One fish will lay 1,000 eggs. And if you have a mutation in one of those, which would be beneficial, which you're not going to get that in 100,000 times a fish has eggs. But if one of those eggs was beneficial, the fish lays, let's say some of them lay 5,000 eggs. You got one, there's a mutation, that little fishy would survive better. Well, you know what happens to it? It gets eaten along with 3,000 other of the eggs in one gulp by a shark. Survival has nothing to do with survival of the fittest when it comes to statistics and mathematics regarding fish as a general rule. 99% of all the fish get wiped out before they even hatch. And it's not the stronger fish that escape the nets. It's the luckier fish. And if fishermen are told, throw back the little ones, keep the big ones, then that's why species are getting smaller, not because of global warming. These guys are fruitcakes. All right. I want to get to our agnostic, Santi Aferella. But first, Obama is coming to Colorado. He was just in, where was he yesterday? New Hampshire? Town meeting for Obamacare, modeled after Romney Care. Romney Care was a total disaster. Paid for abortion, socialist health care, cost, what, triple what it was supposed to cost, bankrupting Massachusetts. So the Democrats look at that and they say, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to pay for abortion and we want a socialist health care program. We want to bankrupt the country. So Mitt Romney had Romney Care. Let's have Obamacare. And so Obama, he was in his town hall meeting yesterday, and he was explaining the difference between government-run and private-run businesses. And I know the point he was trying to make, that there still could be competition, but he said this. He said that it's UPS and FedEx that are doing well, and it's the U.S. Post Office that's always having troubles. And he actually forgot why he was there. He was there to try to sell a government control of the massive healthcare industry. And he forgot because he's a doofus. He's a doofus. Yeah, we want the post office to run the hospitals now. We want the Pentagon to run the doctor's offices. It's, for one, it's wrong. And two, it's ineffective. So being wrong is more important than being ineffective and inefficient. And as Alan Keyes said on this program yesterday, Ambassador Alan Keyes, America's healthcare system is the envy of the world. People come here by the, what, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands a year for healthcare. And they're not Americans flooding into Canada for healthcare. The flood is the other direction. And they get it there for free, and they still come here for it. All right. Oh, and so Obama is scheduled to come to Colorado on Saturday for a town hall meeting in Grand Junction on the Western Slope. And by the way, that's near where Friends of Bob and Yart Live dug up an Allosaur skull, the most complete Allosaur skull in the world. Virtually all its teeth, the entire skull, homeschoolers, and near Dinosaur National Monument in Colorado. And this skull, you can get a DVD on it, The Raising of the Allosaur. And this skull had in its mouth, and I've been on site where they excavated this skull. We were excavating other dinosaur fossils with my kids. And in the mouth of the Allosaur, the dinosaur skull, there was wood. And the wood was partially fossilized and partially not. Part organic, part fossil. So just throw that in with all your list of soft tissue, T-Rex cells, hemoglobin, blood vessels, soft tissue, duck-billed dinosaurs. What are those things called? The duck-billed dinosaur. Hadrosaur. They're finding soft tissue dinosaurs every time they turn around. And here's a dinosaur, an Allosaur, the world's most complete, with a piece of wood in its mouth, not fossilized. Still biological. Oh, yeah, these things last for 60 million years. Didn't you know that? Didn't you know that soft tissue dinosaurs, soft tissue lasts for 60 million years? You didn't know that? You are so silly. Of course blood vessels remain supple for 70 million years. Of course they do. Why would anyone think otherwise? And so now Harvard sequenced proteins in dinosaur soft tissue. Sequencing proteins. It's astounding. Okay. So Obama was to hold his healthcare town meeting in Grand Junction at the monument out there. They got a monument, which is a large venue, and they just moved it to Central High School. A bit smaller venue. And Hillary in Africa, a student asked her about what does her husband think about some foreign policy issue, and she took offense. Don't you ask me about my husband's opinion on anything. She took offense. I am the Secretary of State, not my husband. Forget him. He's out having an affair with someone. He just had his birthday in Las Vegas, didn't he? Bill Clinton just had his birthday in Las Vegas. And we had our Clinton watch during the DNC. We had people taking photographs at the adult nightclubs. That's not even a good name for those places. Because adult, I mean, how dare they destroy? The homosexuals took pink, right? And the perverts took adult. So anyway, Hillary had her mini meltdown. And the fish are shrinking because of global warming. Now, global warming, when did the temperatures start to rise? And how many times have the temperatures gone up and down in the geologic climate history of the world? How many times have temperatures gone up and down a couple degrees or more? The fish are shrinking because of global warming. Oh, brother. Okay, our phone number here, Bob and Your Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And by the way, if you're a first-time listener to Bob and Your Live or a new listener, or if you've never purchased anything from us before or made a donation to help us stay on the air, or subscribe to our DVDs, our BEL videos, some of them are award-winning, or got our Bible study materials or Bible study albums or sermons. I have the honor of preaching at Denver Bible Church. And you'd like to get some of our materials or donate, we will apply whatever you spend or whatever you give to our September telethon, in which our goal is to raise $40,000 to keep Bob and Yurt live on the internet, kgov.com, kgov.com, for the next year. So if you call 1-800-836-9278 or go to our website, kgov, kgov.com, you will help us in our telethon for September. All right, now, this Ann Coulter video. We put Ann Coulter up on YouTube, the Ann Coulter hangups, and this Santi Ferella, an agnostic, he writes, on the far right, Ann Coulter and Mitt Romney are not conservative enough. And he says, and you thought Rush Limbaugh was crazy. Here are some far right radio and internet media broadcasters. Hey, wait, these are all radio and TV broadcasters and on the internet, of course. Laying into Ann Coulter and Mitt Romney. And so then I responded to Santi A. Ferella. And I wrote this. What would you write to somebody who's upset or thinks that we're wrong for criticizing Ann Coulter and Mitt Romney? What would you say to that kind of person? So this is what I wrote. It's a one-sentence post. I wrote, Prometheus, do you realize that God made us and that we are accountable to him? That's it. I don't know where he's coming from other than he thinks Mitt Romney certainly should not be criticized for passing tax-funded surgical elective abortion. So I wrote Prometheus. Really, it's Santi A. Ferella, but his blog is Prometheus Unbound. So I wrote Prometheus, do you realize that God made us and that we are accountable to him? Bob Enyart, kgov.com. And Prometheus responded, actually Santi, and he said, Bob, I'm happy to concede that we are living within an ontological mystery. But could you offer me some justification for your claim that God made us? How do you know this? Secondly, I'd like to ask you a personal question. When you doubt, what is it exactly that you doubt? Signed, Santi. And those are good questions. Why do you say God made us? And what doubts do you have? And so I gave two replies. The first was about the evidence for God's existence. And we've covered that so often on the air. And I gave a link to Santi so he could see where we give evidence for God's existence. And so I don't think I'll get into that on the air. Certainly somebody could call in 800-836-9278 and we could do that. But I said, Santi, I've had a great time debating atheists, and I'd be happy to post a concise list of evidence for God's existence from 10 areas, 10 different kinds of evidence, if you'd like. And by the way, here's a list of atheists I've debated. You can find those debates at kgov.com, and then ABC's Reginald Finley, the infidel guy, Theology Online's psychologist Zaketh, Freedom from Religion Foundation's Dan Barker, the guy who wrote the book God.com, John Henderson, the anti-creationist, Dr. Eugenie Scott, and the editor at Scientific American and founder of the Skeptic Society, Michael Shermer. So, Santi, I could post that list of 10 areas of evidence if you'd like, or I could post 7 atheist cliches, each one with a rebuttal that takes less than 8 seconds. But thanks for writing. And so Santi says, Bob, sure, you can put them on this thread. I don't mind. And so I responded to him with the things he asked me, what do you doubt? So I wrote, Santi, your request that I improvise. Oh, no, I'll skip that part. Santi, I doubt that as the mountain of evidence utterly refuting Darwinism continues to rise, I doubt that a majority of evolutionists will acknowledge our creator God. I doubt that. But wait, I'm sure that's not the kinds of doubts that you're asking me about. You're asking me to indicate, of the beliefs that I hold, which ones do I sometimes doubt? To help myself think through this, I'll first list the things that I never, ever doubt. And then I want to take a call, but I gave him a list of the things I never, ever doubt. I never doubt that I exist, and therefore I know that there is a reality. I never doubt that truth exists because, for example, I exist. I never doubt that the universe exists. I never doubt that the universe must have had a beginning because it does not have a uniform temperature and stars are still burning available energy. And since truth exists, I never doubt that logic and reason exist. And that's about halfway through the list of things I never doubt. But let's go to Kansas. Dean, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, sir.
When I was in junior high, I remember having a biology book, and the name on the front of that was Charles Darwin.
Charles Darwin on the front of your biology book in junior high. I believe it, Dean.
It was in big letters.
Yeah.
And it was a long time ago that I was in junior high because I'll be 70 in January.
All right. All right. Well, hey, Dean, thank you for letting us know that.
You bet. Keep up the good work, and God bless you, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Dean. I appreciate that. So Dean's point is Charles Darwin has been foisted onto young minds in school for a long, long time. So I continued with Santi. So I told him, first, the things I do not doubt. I don't doubt that I exist. And therefore, I know that there is a reality. Now, there are atheists and liberals who've called into this show and told me that they create their own reality. And I asked them, well, then why did you create me? You must be a masochist. And I said, and why did you create HIV and the AIDS epidemic? You must be one cruel dude. And so I said, Santi, there are all these things that I don't doubt. Since I exist and reason exists, I never doubt that existence itself must be rational and logical. Since logic and reason exist, I never doubt that the effect cannot be greater than the cause. You get that? The effect cannot be greater than the cause. And since the effect cannot be greater than the cause, I never doubt that logically there must be an uncaused cause of the universe. The universe is the effect of something dramatic, a Big Bang or a creator. And I never doubt that the effect cannot be greater than the cause. So the universe must have a cause equal or greater to the universe. Isn't that something? In Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center. And this is Bob Enyart, KGov.com.